Dear Talking About Platforms listeners, this episode is part of our special AI-generated series, exploring the key ideas and influential works that have shaped platform studies. Let's get started.
This paper, it's called A Price Theory of Multi-Sided Platforms by E. Glenn Whale.
Yeah, this paper really did kind of set the stage for understanding how platform pricing works, especially when we're dealing with monopolies.
Right.
Which, let's be honest, that's a pretty common scenario.
It does feel like we're surrounded by platforms
that
hold a lot of sway in their markets.
Yeah.
So for our listeners who might be, you know, early in their platform research journey, maybe PhD students, researchers just starting out, or even practitioners, policymakers who are science-minded, why is this paper such a must-read?
So Whale challenges a very basic assumption, the idea that platforms are simply matchmakers, connecting two sides and benefiting solely from these network effects. He argues that monopolies, with their power to set prices, actually distort those network effects.
Okay.
And this leads to some pretty interesting consequences.
So not just connecting, but actually shaping the market itself through their pricing strategies.
Yeah.
That's a big claim.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Where does he see this distortion coming from?
The core of it is what Whale calls user heterogeneity.
Okay.
Essentially, he's saying that users on each side of the platform, right? So think like buyers and sellers on eBay. They're not all the same. They have different needs, values, levels of engagement.
So it's not enough to think of each side as a single homogenous group.
Right.
Each individual user brings something different to the table.
Exactly.
That makes sense. But how does that tie into the monopoly's power to distort things?
Well, imagine you're a platform and you have the power to set prices, right? You could use something. Whale calls it insulating tariffs to essentially control how many users participate on each side, regardless of what's happening on the other side.
Hold on. Insulating tariffs. That sounds pretty heavy duty.
Yeah.
Can you break that down a bit? What does that actually look like in practice?
Think of it like this. You're a website that makes money from advertising. Instead of charging advertisers a flat fee, you charge them per click.
Okay.
So they only pay when a user actually clicks on their ad. This way, advertisers are more likely to join your platform because they know they're going to get a return on their investment, even if your website traffic isn't huge yet.
Ah, so it's about reducing the risk for one side of the market.
It's very clever.
I bet platforms use this kind of strategy all the time, right?
All the time, yeah.
Yeah.
You see it everywhere.
Yeah.
From credit card companies charging per transaction fees to ride-sharing apps, right?
Right.
Adjusting prices based on demand. These insulating tariffs give platforms a lot of control. But Whale doesn't just describe how these tactics work. He also contrasts them with a more socially optimal approach to pricing.
So there's a way to set prices that might benefit society more broadly, not just the platform itself.
Right.
What does that look like?
So economists, they call this Pigouvian pricing.
Pigouvian pricing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the basic idea is that the price of something should reflect its true cost to society, including any positive or negative externalities that it creates.
Okay. So with a platform, you'd have to consider all the ways that one side of the market affects the other.
Right.
So it's not as simple as just figuring out the cost of providing the service. You have to think about the whole ecosystem.
Exactly. Yeah. And Whale uses the newspaper industry as a classic example.
Okay.
Right. So the optimal Pigouvian approach would be to subsidize readers, to encourage them to join because their presence brings value to advertisers.
Right.
And on the flip side, you might want to increase the price, maybe slightly, for advertisers.
Right.
Because their ads can potentially drive away readers.
Yeah.
If there are too many of them.
So it's a delicate balancing act.
Yeah.
Trying to find that sweet spot that benefits both sides and ultimately creates the most value for everyone involved.
Right.
That makes a lot of sense from a social good perspective.
Mm.
But I have a feeling a profit-hungry monopoly might have a different set of priorities.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And that's where this tension between profit maximization and social optimality really comes into play. Whale argues that monopolies often prioritize their own bottom line, even if it means straying from what would be considered socially optimal.
This makes me think about all the times I've felt like a platform wasn't really serving my best interests as a user. Like maybe I was bombarded with ads or I felt like features I valued were being neglected. Is there a way to explain this disconnect even when monopolies seem to have all this data and market power?
Yeah, and that's where Whale introduces a really interesting concept called the Spence distortion.
Spence distortion.
Yeah. He points out that even monopolies can't perfectly predict and respond to the diverse needs of all their users.
Okay.
And this inability to perfectly price discriminate, right, leads to them catering to the preferences of what he calls the marginal user.
The marginal user. So the person who's on the fence about using the platform.
Right. Exactly.
That makes sense from a business perspective. You're always chasing that next customer.
Right.
But how does that create a distortion?
It means that monopolies often focus on attracting that next user.
Okay.
Even if it means overlooking the needs of their most loyal, high-value users.
Right.
Right. And that's the distortion. This tendency to prioritize the newest, you know, potential customer over the existing base.
That feels very familiar. Like, it's like when a tourist destination starts catering more to day trippers than to the people who live there year round.
Yeah, it's a good analogy. They're so focused on attracting those new users that they might end up neglecting the features or services that their core users really value.
It seems short-sighted, right? Alienating your loyal users just to chase after the next marginal one.
It definitely can be. And it highlights this inherent tension within platform economics, you know, this balancing act between attracting new users and keeping your existing users happy. But it's not always easy to see these dynamics playing out, especially when we're trying to measure something as complex as market power.
That's a great point. How do we even know how much power a platform actually has? Those traditional methods of assessing market power don't seem to quite fit in the two-sided world of platforms.
You're right. They often fall short. It's tricky because platforms frequently set prices below cost on one side to attract users on the other. So how do we tell if a platform is engaging in predatory pricing or just strategically subsidizing one side of the market?
It's like trying to analyze a chess game based only on the movement of one pawn. You miss the bigger picture of what's really going on.
Exactly. But Weil's framework offers a new lens for understanding market power in platforms. He proposes something called a generalized learner index for two-sided markets.
Okay, hold on. For our listeners who haven't encountered this before, can you quickly explain what a learner index is?
Sure. A learner index is basically a measure of a company's market power. The higher the index, the more power they have to influence prices. Traditionally, it's been used to analyze single-sided markets, but it doesn't quite translate to platform dynamics.
So Weil adapted this index to better suit platform markets.
Precisely. His generalized index helps us disentangle the complexity of platform pricing by taking into account the interactions between both sides, the costs associated with each, and the platform's overall profit structure.
So it's not just about whether prices are above or below cost on one side. It's about understanding the interplay between both sides and how the platform is using price to balance those competing forces.
Right. This index gives us a more accurate picture of a platform's true market power, helping regulators identify potentially harmful behavior.
Okay, that's super helpful in terms of assessing market power as a whole. But what about predatory pricing specifically? How can we tell if a platform is using low prices as a weapon to crush competitors rather than as a legitimate strategy to grow its network?
That's where things get even more interesting. Weil argues that simply seeing prices below cost isn't enough to prove predatory behavior in a two-sided market. Platforms might be subsidizing one side to attract users on the other, and that's a perfectly legitimate tactic to grow the overall network, which ultimately benefits everyone.
So we need to look beyond the surface level of prices and consider the platform's long-term goals and the overall market context.
Absolutely. To truly identify predatory pricing, we need to understand the platform's long-term strategy, the overall market structure, and the potential impact on competition. It's about determining whether the platform's pricing is intentionally aimed at harming competition or simply reflects the dynamics of a two-sided market.
It's like the difference between a boxer throwing a strategic jab versus a sucker punch. Both might land, but the intent is completely different.
A great analogy. It highlights the need for regulators to have a deep understanding of platform economics when making decisions.
Speaking of regulation, Weil doesn't stop at just dissecting platform behavior. He also delves into how regulators should approach these markets.
Yes, and one key takeaway is that regulators need to move beyond a siloed approach and consider both sides of the platform when crafting policies.
So no more just focusing on consumers or businesses in isolation. You need to think about how what you do to one side will impact the other and the platform itself.
Right. Regulating one side without considering the impact on the other can lead to unintended consequences and distortions in the market. It's like trying to fix a leaky faucet by tightening one pipe without considering the impact on the rest of the plumbing system.
A perfect analogy. I could already see how easily things could go wrong if you don't take that holistic approach.
Exactly. Weil argues that regulators need to address potential distortions on both sides of the platform, taking into account factors like market power, user heterogeneity, and the presence of network effects.
That sounds pretty complicated. What if regulators can't achieve that ideal outcome, that Pigouvian pricing utopia where everyone benefits?
That's where Ramsey pricing comes in. Think of it as a second best solution when Pigouvian pricing is simply unattainable, maybe due to budget limitations or political roadblocks.
Okay, so it's like the backup plan when the perfect plan isn't feasible.
Exactly. Ramsey pricing acknowledges that achieving the absolute social optimum might not be possible. So it aims to maximize social welfare within those constraints, even if it's not the perfect scenario.
So it's about finding the best possible solution within the realm of the practical, rather than chasing an unattainable ideal. Pragmatic? I like it.
Yeah.
But how would you actually apply this to a two-sided market?
It requires carefully considering those cross-side effects we've been discussing. For example, regulators might consider capping prices on one side of the market to benefit users on the other side.
Like capping the fees merchants pay to a payment platform so that consumers might benefit from lower prices. Sounds good in theory, but couldn't that backfire?
It definitely could. Weil points out that these types of caps, while intended to benefit one side, can sometimes lead to platforms cutting corners or reducing quality on the other side to compensate for the lost revenue.
So it's a balancing act again. Regulators need to weigh the potential benefits against the possible drawbacks and really understand the specifics of that market.
Precisely. And Weil's work provides a way to think through these complex scenarios and make more informed decisions.
This has been incredibly helpful in understanding the regulatory side, but what about the platforms themselves? How does Weil's work inform their decision-making?
That's where we really start to see the practical value of this paper for platform operators. Weil's insights into user heterogeneity and the Spence distortion have major implications for how platforms think about their pricing strategies.
So it's not just an academic exercise. It's a playbook for platforms to navigate the complexities of their markets.
Exactly. For example, understanding the Spence distortion helps platforms recognize that catering solely to the marginal user can be detrimental in the long run.
Because you might alienate your most loyal users.
Right. Platforms need to find ways to balance attracting new users with meeting the needs of their core user base. It's about creating a sustainable ecosystem that benefits everyone, not just the person on the verge of joining.
It's like tending a garden. You need to nurture the plants you have, not just focus on planting new seeds.
That's a great analogy. And Weil suggests that price discrimination, often seen as a negative practice, can sometimes actually be beneficial in two-sided markets.
Wait, really? Price discrimination, as in charging different people different prices for the same thing, can actually be a good thing.
It can be. When done strategically and ethically, platforms might offer discounts or special pricing to certain user groups, and this can actually help balance out those Spence distortions and promote a more socially optimal outcome.
So it's not about unfairly taking advantage of certain users. It's about using pricing strategically to create a more balanced and equitable platform.
Exactly. It's about using pricing as a tool to create a more equitable and efficient platform ecosystem.
Okay, I'm starting to see how price discrimination can actually be a force for good in these markets. But what about mergers? Those are always a hot topic.
Yeah.
How does Weil's framework help us understand what happens when platforms combine?
Mergers in platform markets are incredibly complex, and there's no one-size-fits-all answer. But Weil's work provides a valuable framework for analyzing these deals and assessing their potential impact on competition, innovation, and consumer welfare.
So it's not a crystal ball that predicts the future, but it's a set of lenses that help us see the situation more clearly.
Exactly. One key insight is that the impact of a merger depends heavily on the source of user heterogeneity and the nature of network effects in the specific market.
So the same merger could have vastly different outcomes depending on the specific characteristics of the platforms and their users.
Absolutely. For example, in markets where user heterogeneity is primarily driven by interaction value, a merger might lead to increased market power and higher prices for everyone.
Because the merged entity now has a larger audience and less incentive to offer competitive pricing.
Right. But in markets where user heterogeneity is driven more by membership value, a merger might actually lead to lower prices and increased participation, as the merged platform benefits from economies of scale and can offer more value to its users.
Okay, so it's not as simple as saying all mergers are good or all mergers are bad.
Yeah.
It really depends on the specifics of the market and how those network effects play out.
Precisely. Weil's framework forces us to move beyond simplistic assumptions and consider the nuanced interplay of market forces when evaluating these complex deals.
I'm starting to see how Weil's work is almost like a decoder ring for understanding the intricacies of platform markets. It helps to make sense of seemingly contradictory behaviors and unravel the complex web of interactions between platforms, users, and regulators.
It's a powerful toolkit for anyone trying to navigate the ever-evolving landscape of platform economics.
It feels like we've covered so much ground, from insulating tariffs and the Spence distortion to these different approaches to regulation.
Yeah.
And yet, with a paper this dense, I'm sure there's still more to unpack.
Oh, there's always more to explore.
Right.
Especially with a topic as dynamic as platform economics. But Weil's work really does lay a solid foundation for understanding these markets. I think the most crucial message is that platform markets are complex, dynamic systems, with their own unique rules and incentives, and traditional economic models. They often fall short when applied to platforms, which can lead to misinformed decisions and unintended consequences.
And on that note, we'll leave you, our intrepid listeners, to continue your own exploration of platform economics. Keep Weil's insights in mind as you delve deeper into this fascinating field. You never know what groundbreaking discoveries you might make.
Happy exploring.
Thank you for listening to Talking About Platforms. In this special series on platform classics, we use AI to review and present published research, with intellectual property remaining with the original authors. Our goal is to make these insights accessible and encourage you to dive deeper into the original works. Stay tuned for more episodes and keep exploring the fascinating world of platforms.